Tonight, I would like for us to think about a small but very important fact. As we think about people attending a Bible class program in a local congregation, if our children begin very early in kindergarten, let's say, and they go up through the 12th grade, as they complete that program or that process, that entire process consists of between 4 and 6 months of training. People have tried to demonstrate this in various ways. Another illustration of it is that an entire year in a Bible class program in a local congregation is equivalent to 10 days in a public school system. A whole year of training in a Bible class program equivalent to 10 days in a local school system. But when we think about this information, it should be material that causes us to sit down and think, how much or how well would a person be educated if he or she just had 6 or maybe just 4 months of formal education? And we could divide that 6-month period of secular education any way that we like. We could say, okay, from the time that you're 5 to about 17, we can give you the 4 or 5 or 6 months all at once, anytime during that period. Or we can just give you a few weeks a year. We're not persnickety as far as how we divide it up, but in this 12-year period, you get 4 to 6 months of education. Well, we'd conclude that a person was not very well educated. Not long ago, I saw some information on high school dropout rates. It was said in this particular study that a third, about 30% of all U.S. students, are dropping out of school before they graduate. There are right now about 24 states that actually allow, they have laws that allow children to drop out of school. And these studies reflect, I think, what we probably would all know. You don't need to spend money to figure this out, but the kids that do that have some serious difficulties. Tonight, though, we're not thinking about young people who drop out of high school. We're not thinking about young people who get to the 5th or the 6th grade. But we're trying to envision, if you will, people who receive in their lifetime only 4, 5, or 6 months of formal education. How well equipped would a person who has that experience be ready for life? Well, that's, as we said, about all that most people get in a local congregation as far as what a local church offers. Well, that kind of schooling, that kind of education certainly does not begin to rival what's offered in the secular realm, and it often does not rival what parents do. When we look at secular education, we find sometimes that parents do all they can for the children and the school system that is involved. They may work to get their children into the best possible school. They may seek to get their children into special classes with certain teachers. Some parents go all the extra miles, involved with all the activities and so forth, because school is a priority. And yet sometimes those well-intentioned parents, when it comes to a Bible class program, that's not a priority. It's a different story. As I was thinking about this disparity between what children receive in the secular realm and the 4 to 6 months of education that they receive in the spiritual realm, at least through the local congregation, I gave some consideration to God's curriculum. Is God pleased with the arrangement that I have just described? Would he be pleased with a young person who receives 6 months of Bible instruction over a 12-year period? Well, there is, of course, no exact passage which answers this specific question. But there are some verses, I think, as we look at them, they give us, as we combine them, a pretty good answer from God. For instance, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, that's a place where Jesus was being tempted by Satan. It's one of the accounts of that. And Jesus, as he responds to the devil, he said that man does not live by bread alone, but he lives by every word from the mouth of God. Now, it is not possible, at least I've never met a teacher, a Bible class teacher, who can cover everything in 6 months. And yet Jesus says it's God's will that we be familiar with the totality of his word. Our Bible school program is an important tool. It's a valuable tool. It's a vital tool. But it can't be the only tool that's used with people in a local congregation, because even under the best circumstances, in that 12-year period, a person, an individual, is only going to get about 6 months' worth of instruction, and that's throwing in VBS and some other things. It's just not enough. That information needs to be supplemented by teaching in homes, devotionals, and other things. A little later in Matthew, chapter 13, verse 19, we find a second and important lesson. Jesus spoke of some information from the scriptures that was heard, but information that was not understood. That's certainly true when we think about secular education. If it's been a while since you've been in school, you may not remember too many specific examples, but oftentimes as you're sat in the class, a teacher may have offered some instruction and you just thought, wow, I didn't get it today. I mean, that's just above me. Maybe you'd missed some previous classes, or maybe the information was just too new, but you thought, this is just too difficult for me to grasp. Well, the secular school system is set up to deal with those kinds of situations. There is often some form of repeat instruction. People who go off to college, a lot of freshman classes are basically repetitious. Things that were supposed to be learned in high school perhaps were not learned, so in that freshman English class or maybe a freshman math class, something else, a young person is allowed to go back and have a second shot or third shot at learning what they should have learned several years before. Or maybe that they didn't understand, they didn't grasp some things. But there are later grades and later courses that allow people to go back and cover subjects once again. But consider, if you will, if people are only receiving 4, 5, or 6 months of Bible school training, that's not very much time to grasp it all. They're probably going to miss some things, and there's really not enough time there to go back and cover all those things that were not fully understood, or there were some problems with comprehension. So once again, we're reminded of the vital fact that a Bible school program is a critical program in a local congregation. But if that's all that people are receiving, it's not going to be enough. After this verse, we have Matthew 13, verse 20, and Jesus there spoke about rocky ground. If you've ever tried to teach children or someone else, you know that there are some teaching situations which are literally rocky ground. For whatever reason, a student may not want to learn. Well, if you are dealing with this problem in a secular environment, the issue sometimes resolves itself. A student may not be wanting to learn for, you know, a week or a month or maybe even a year. And yet, because 12 years are involved typically, as we look at our particular country, oftentimes they can go back and kind of get back on the right track and everything is fine. A child may not listen for a few weeks or months, but they still get enough instruction to get by. But imagine a situation where a person is only receiving 4, 5, or 6 months of instruction, and for whatever reason they're preoccupied or they tune things out for a little while. There's really no time to lose in this second set of circumstances, and this is a serious problem. If a person does not receive a complete earthly education, that is not always a great difficulty. It is certainly a temporal matter. It may affect them for 10 years or 15 years or 20 years or maybe even 80 years. But you know, no matter what a person does not manage to achieve in their secular life as far as an earthly education, that's not going to have any bearing on them for eternity. But if a person fails in their spiritual education, that can and often does have some eternal consequences. Acts 13, verse 26 refers to the word of salvation. Thinking about that passage again, let's relate it to the point that's being made tonight. Someone who receives less than 6 months of Bible school training. We're trying within that small period of time, half a year of training, to help that individual learn enough information to know about God, to recognize sin, and to begin living a life where they will have made the right choices so that they can spend eternity with God. We get less than a year as far as the work in a local congregation to help people make that eternal and critical choice. Now that tells me, that should tell each one of us, that if we choose to be a Bible class teacher, it is a very serious matter and it is a very important choice. Being a Bible class teacher is one of the most important and one of the greatest tasks any individual can ever undertake. In many respects, as we think about things tonight, I would suggest that a Bible class teacher is, in many respects, more important than any secular school teacher. Bible class teachers are dealing with matters that are far more serious than the right way to do math or the right way to carry out a scientific test. They're dealing, literally, with eternal spirits. Secular teachers sometimes look at their work and they think, boy, we receive great joy. We like coming to work. We like doing this particular job because we're helping people succeed. This individual that we teach, he or she can go out and get a good job. They're going to be a productive member of society, all of those things. And in many cases, those things are exactly right. But those things are also true when we think about Bible class teachers. Bible class teachers should realize that as they teach their children, they're trying to offer instruction to people so that the people that they're teaching will receive an eternal inheritance. Acts 20, verse 32. It's not we're trying to train somebody for a job that they'll have for the next 20 or 30 years, but we are training them literally forever. Imagine a person saying at the end of time, I am saved. I'm here. I'm on the right side of the fence in eternity because of a Bible class teacher. Or another one says, I'm here because my parents took the time to carefully teach me the gospel. Oh, there were the school activities, and they took me to those. But in my house, Bible study, Spiritual instruction was a priority. In Romans 10, verse 8, Paul talks about God's word being nigh to the mouth. That's simply a way of saying that the person was familiar with the scriptures. And yet, if we look at things through the lens that we are suggesting or proposing tonight, if a child has received basically 5 months of Bible class training through a local congregation, and that's really all that they've gotten, is the word of God going to be nigh to their mouth? Romans 10, verse 8. Probably not. A child may know a few of the basics, but he or she will really struggle to call forth much of God's word. After 12 years in a public school system, they're probably going to be able to call forth several different things. They probably can zip through the letters of the alphabet. They'll know their multiplication tables, and there may be a slew of facts and figures that they can readily make known to people. And they've certainly developed some other talents after 12 years go by. But in too many cases, the word of God is simply not nigh to the mouth. God's will, when it comes to his word, is designed to be ingrained in human minds. But oftentimes in a local congregation, we fail. We can fail as a congregation and we can fail as parents. Children, of course, can be given opportunities and they reject those opportunities. There's no way that we can force them to learn. We cannot always control what they learn, but we certainly can do a good job. We can do our part when it comes to teaching them. One of our goals in a local congregation should be that the people that we interact with, and especially in our own families, we want to do our best to see that God's word is nigh to their mouth. That is, we've tried to communicate it in the best way that we know how, and we've tried to impress it on the mind. Paul continues this same line of thought a few verses later in Romans 10, verse 17. He said, faith comes by hearing. And what we need to hear is the word of God. He says that creates faith. In the secular realm, I think that there are a lot of people who would agree that knowledge comes by education. And that education can come in different ways. It may come through on-the-job training or experience, or it may come through book learning. But knowledge basically comes by education. Well, Bible knowledge also comes by education. We're trying to convey information. But Paul goes on to say that Bible knowledge is also the basis for faith. Now, if a person has received 6 months or less of instruction, of, you know, Bible material, how strong is their faith going to be? What kind of faith are they going to have in life? Well, common sense would say that in the majority of cases, it's not going to be a strong faith. It's going to be a shallow faith. It's going to be a weak faith. And when it's time for that faith to be tested in that young person's life, and it will be tested, there's a high chance that it's going to fail. 6 months of preparation, or four, or in some cases, depending with some folks, it may not even be 30 days of preparation. That's not going to be a very good defense in the teen years when temptation comes strong, hard, and fast. It's probably not going to be a good foundation for young people when they go off to college. You see, as we think about our Bible school program and the other things that we do to try to train people as Christians or to become Christians, we're really preparing people for the future. Our teaching in and out of a classroom situation is not just knowledge, but we're really trying to prepare people for spiritual warfare. Our world, as we look at it, is a very difficult place. I think you would agree that it's more difficult now than it was 10 years ago, more difficult to live in than it was 20 years ago, and harder to live in than what things were like 50 years ago. So it's imperative that we train our children to the best of our ability and our adults as fully as possible. We want to use every possible tool and resource to ground people in God's Word. And that means we teach people how to study. It means that we encourage people to study, and that is done on both a personal basis and a public basis. Our public study should be as good as they possibly can be in a local congregation, because eternal spirits are literally hanging in the balance. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul said that God's word is the power to salvation. That is, this is the only source that will help people find eternal life. There is no other source. Now, in secular education, our children may excel in one or more areas. It may be that we've got a math whiz, and he or she does incredibly well in math, top of the class. Or a child may do great in geography, science, English, chemistry, history, or some other subject. And maybe they are so good in school that they're asked to be the class president. But you know, no matter how great their achievements are in the secular realm, class president or not, they can be the greatest possible math whiz. That's not going to train their eternal soul. Thinking about a man, I met him for the first time about 22 years ago, a bright, bright guy about my age, and he turned out to be a math whiz. There, I learned at that particular time that there are some math problems that have never been solved. Well, this fellow decided that he wanted to pursue a PhD, and he did. His dissertation for that PhD was to solve this particular math problem. And the problem, I don't know how long it had been around, but I mean it had been around for a long, long time. And this fellow solved it. I mean, a bright guy. But you know, in spite of that great intellect, in spite of his accomplishments, and I'm sure over the last 20 years, I've not kept up with him. I didn't know him that well. I just knew the basics about what I described. He did not pursue the kind of training that he needed to save his soul. A person can be the best possible student in the secular realm, great achievements, but still be lost. So the teaching provided inside and outside of a local congregation is absolutely critical. As Christians, we want to do our best to teach people as fully as we possibly can. And that also includes encouragement. For a number of months, we've had a visitation program that we've run on Sunday nights, and that is a great thing for several reasons. If people are not here, we should make, through that program, that's certainly a good beginning point, and we can do some supplemental things as well as in our own. If they're not here, we should let them know that they're missed, and we'd like to see them here next time. If they miss a Sunday morning service, let's let them know. If they miss a Bible class on Sunday or Wednesday, we can let them know that they're missed. We can encourage them to come. How come? Because if that person is not here over a 12-year period, even if they are here over a period of a dozen years, the amount of public instruction that they're going to receive amounts to about 5 months of information, and that is not very much. Children who do not come to class, and we have some here, and it's true in every congregation, are not even getting half a year of Bible instruction by the time they graduate from high school. How in the world are those children going to be spiritually strong as they go out and face the world? I don't have an answer for that question, and I don't think others do either. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 2, Paul said, hold fast the word. And as you think about children in this particular passage, they are good at doing that. When they hear information from a teacher at school, they can come back a later time. My teacher said, you know, they heard that information and they have clung to it. They've held on to it. They've held fast the word. Well, Bible class teachers can also profit from that particular ability that kids have. And sometimes they do. Young person may say, my Bible class teacher said, they heard the word, they clung to it. Some are bold enough to say the Bible says or God says. But you know, children will not say those things about the Bible. They will not say those things about God if they're not taught. God's word needs to be drilled into the minds of people, adults and young people. Paul once said the gospel is the helmet of salvation, Ephesians 6, verse 17. How strong is that helmet of salvation going to be if there's only 6 months or 30 days or the equivalent of 24 hours of instruction behind it? If we want to protect our children, if we want them and we ourselves to make the right choices, we really at times need to sit down and examine ourselves. How diligently are we trying to not only teach ourselves, our children, but fellow Christians? Do we really recognize, do we really understand the value of a Bible class teacher? I'm not sure that we do as a brotherhood. Do we not see that if we can teach in some way, this is an activity, and again, there are lots of ways to teach. It may be that we give somebody a tract, it may be that we give somebody a video, all kinds of ways to teach. Do we not see that by doing that, we often can change a person's life and even their eternal future? A young preacher was once told, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, you be urgent. And Timothy, you not only be urgent, but you be urgent in season when they're interested. And you be urgent out of season. That verse applies to every single Christian. It applies to us if we have children, we want to urgently teach them. It applies to us if we have grandchildren, and it applies to us as we think about every other individual that we can reach. Our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, whoever they are. We want to teach people because the instruction that we give them is really not going to be that much in the grand scheme of things. Teaching is one of the great and important tasks that God calls on us to do. Are we trying to do it? We hope so. But we're not going to be an effective teacher unless we're a Christian. We need to have had someone teach us, or maybe we've figured it out ourselves by reading the New Testament. We've come to the conclusion that we have to have faith. We've been taught that, and that's good. We've been taught about repentance, and that's right. We've been instructed about confession, and that's important. And then we've also received that final information about baptism into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. If we've done that, then as we live the Christian life, we want to seek people that need that instruction or need continued instruction and help them, because that's God's will. Tonight, we hope that that's the course that you're on. If you need some instruction, to become a Christian or to get back on the right road as a child of God. We'd like to offer that as also part of the invitation. If there's a way that we can help you and you'd like to make that need known tonight, we do that now as we stand and sing the selected song.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, calling today. Bring him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed, he will not turn thee away. Jesus is pleading, oh, listen to his voice. Hear him today, hear him today. They who believe on his name shall rejoice. Quickly arise and away. Calling today,
there is anyone here that was unable to attend this morning and partake of the